Thank you very much indeed. Good to be here. Betty called me today and she wanted to know how the singing was going. And I hadn't had the Murphy sisters in singing. So she was reminding me about it. I'd almost forgotten how well you sing. So next time she calls me, I'll tell her that it's gone very well because you visited us and you've been singing too. Well, it's great just to be able to turn to the Word of God now. And we're going to turn to Revelation chapter 13. We've gone a long way. We've skipped a lot of chapters, but we'll be going back over some of them this evening as we make our way through. Revelation chapter 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave his power and his throne and great authority to him. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after this beast, and they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man hath an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth, by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give him, to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as that would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and in their forehead. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. The Lord will add his blessing to this reading of his most precious and his holy word. Let us bow in prayer together as we turn to the scriptures now to ask the Lord to bless us through them. Shall we pray? Father, we ask now in your presence that tonight you would draw in our minds in an orderly way to be able to listen and comprehend the truth. We pray that those here tonight that know not the Lord Jesus as Savior will be so stirred in their hearts tonight with regard to the terrible and dreadful things that are going to happen on earth after the rapture, that they will tremble lest they should fall under the influence of this man of sin. Lord, show them how wretched, how terrible, how awful it will be to be on this planet when the grace of God is not preached. Draw out their hearts to the Lord Jesus. Let them know that the one who died at the cross has his arms outstretched and open to receive them. May there be someone saved tonight, and may all the saints grow in grace, and may they be encouraged as they know of the victory that is ours through our living, risen, eternal Lord. We ask it in his lovely name. Amen. Our study this evening brings us to the subject of the man of sin. We have covered quite a lot already in the Word of God since our series opened. We have looked at the Lord Jesus, risen, glorified, and in heaven. Sunday evening we saw him, the risen, exalted, and glorified Savior. Then, last evening, we were looking into two of the chapters 4 and 5, which spoke to us of the rapture of the church. If you're not sure what I mean by the rapture, it is when the Lord Jesus comes in the air for believers. The Lord Jesus will come again later with his church to reign. But the rapture is when the church is caught up to heaven. The day of grace will end. There will be no more preaching of the gospel as we know it to sinners. So when the rapture takes place, it will bring to an end the opportunity of your salvation. Don't ever think that there might be a second opportunity for you to be saved. There will not. And I'll show you why in just a few moments. But the rapture is the time when we as believers will be caught up to heaven. We looked beyond that and saw the church with the Lord in heaven. And we heard that great theme of the whole church saved, unto him that loved us and washed us in his blood, unto him be glory and honor and power and praise. So we joined in the great theme. The Lord Jesus was acclaimed in heaven to be the only one that had the right to reign on earth. It was to the Lord Jesus that the scroll was given. It was the Lord Jesus that broke open the scroll, each of the seals. And in chapter 6, where we shall turn back to in a moment, the Lord Jesus comes out to judge the world. So we're tonight looking basically at chapter 13, although our study tonight will take us through a number of parts of the Bible. Let's turn to chapter 6 of Revelation, because really this is where we left it last evening. The Lord Jesus is in heaven. The Lord Jesus has been worshipped by all the redeemed as they sang, "Thou art worthy to take the book, for thou hast redeemed us unto God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Chapter 6, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four creatures saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." Who is this person that sits upon the white horse, that comes forth with a bow and a crown, and is going forth to conquer? He is the man of sin. He is the one that the scripture calls the beast. He is the one commonly known as the Antichrist, though to be absolutely scriptural, that is his wrong title. We're calling the man of sin and the beast. And if you were to have time to study carefully, and I suggest you do, when you have time, open your Bibles at home to Matthew 24 and keep your hand, as it were, in the sixth chapter of Revelation and read the two together, because you'll find that they're paralleled one in the other. Matthew 24, the teaching of the Lord Jesus, runs through with the teaching of the sixth chapter of Revelation. We haven't time to do that this evening. It would be very profitable to do it, but we haven't time to go through and see the parallels that are there. But this one is the beast, or the man of sin. Now you notice that he rides forth on a white horse, and he has in his hand a bow. You'll also notice that he does not have any arrows. He has in his hand something which could be used for war, but at this time he is not traveling out as a man of war. Not a pun. But he's coming out as one who is going to actually be a man of peace. You see, when the world gets into a certain situation of disruption, upheaval, chaos, monetary problems, every other problem, which we're getting very near to now. One of the monetary leaders of Germany, one of the bankers, has said today that Germany has handled the whole unification in a way which is catastrophic. The Deutschmark has plunged today because of that. Because he says that the way in which the money systems of both Eastern and Western Germany have been handled are causing great problems throughout Europe. He wonders now if there will ever be a one monetary system in Europe following the catastrophe of the past month. Unemployment in Eastern Germany is now running beyond 40%. And that industry is totally wiped out. There is no industry there of any value at all, such as what the communist rule has done. So we're going to see that all over the world, problems are going to become greater. We're living at a time now of great affluence and materialism is rife, but it may not be very long before the monetary system of the world totally collapses. Don't think you're going to go on spending money as you are and earning money as you are and everything's going to be the same in years to come. The Bible foretells a total collapse of the whole world economy and a total collapse of the whole political systems of the world. That's going to come. It will probably come as a result of what's going to happen in the Middle East and of the oil problem. But when this person begins his reign, when this man of sin comes, he's going to be a man of peace because he's going to be the only man who, it appears, can solve the world's problems. And it is on the basis of the fact that he proves that he can solve the world's problems that the world's leaders will accept him. But although, as he comes out without arrows, and he comes as a man of peace, if you read on the third verse, the second beast says, come and see. And I looked then and I saw a red horse. Power was given to him that sat on it to take peace from the earth. It's the same person that's riding, but he's now in a different guise. Now he is a man of war. Now he comes to fight. Now he comes to suppress. Now he comes to conquer through power. Now he comes as one who is finally going to deal with the Jews in a way that is terrible, and he's finally going to make every individual that will not bow to him to be put to death. You'll have to be branded like cattle is branded if you're an unbeliever and is still on the earth when the man of sin comes. Well, he takes peace from the earth. Eventually you'll see that pestilence comes. There is hunger, there is famine, and the whole thing gets worse and worse as you read through the chapter, till at the end of the chapter all the peoples on the earth are crying out, and they're saying, the wrath of the Lamb is coming, who shall be able to stand? And they call upon the rocks and the mountains to hide them. But there was much worse to come than what they'd seen. And the following chapters of Revelation, leading up to chapter 13, show us a greater outpouring of God's wrath and a greater outpouring of the wrath of the man of sin. Now, I know what some of you are asking. Who is this man of sin? Is he alive today? Possibly. I don't know. He might be. He might not be. We don't know how far we're on in the prophetic calendar. We can't tell. It is possible if the Lord were to come tonight, then he must be alive because he would be taking the reins within a few hours. See, when the Lord comes, that is going to cause a terrible crisis on earth. Throughout the world today, there are hundreds of thousands of leading men in all kinds of positions across the world who are Christians. They're all suddenly going to be taken out. So governments will fall. Industry will collapse because Christians are in key positions all over the world and they're going to go. So when the Lord comes, the man of sin will be needed immediately and he will step in to that scene of chaos around the world. I mean, we can't begin to imagine the chaos there will be. The hundreds of pilots that there are, of aircraft that are Christians. I know a dozen myself. And I just don't know many people, but I know a dozen pilots who are flying great liners tonight across the sky. If the rapture takes place, all of those will plunge to the earth with the lives lost of probably 300 to 400 in every one. There are thousands upon thousands of Christians that will be driving their cars when the rapture comes. The chaos on the streets is unbelievable. There are